Greetings, friends. We're so glad that you are here, and we're gathering together to remember Rita Daniels, to celebrate her life, and to celebrate her homegoing. For her to be in the presence of Jesus makes such a difference in how our hearts respond to the loss of a lifelong, almost lifelong spouse for Bert. And so today we're going to enter into the loss and the mourning, the grieving of the absence that we have in our lives, and in particular that of the family of Brother Bert and children and all the connected family. We're going to seek to share comfort today in the Word of God, that one source that lets us know what's beyond this earth, and so that we can know that Rita is rejoicing in the presence of her Savior and in the glories of heaven today. So on behalf of Rita Daniels' family, we express our appreciation that you are here. You know, the Daniels are just icons of Markham Missionary Church. And when I came as pastor, very recent in terms of their lifelong involvement in the church, they were just the epitome of the faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ who also served the local congregation. They have served the Lord under many different pastors through the years and have been examples of support and service, and we cherish that. Let me share just a selection of scripture verses that begins to minister to our hearts as we look to our Lord today. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. And then those powerful words from Romans chapter 8, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads together as we come to the Lord at the start of this service. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can come to you in this time of parting, in this time of loss from our perspective for those who are left here, in a time to rejoice and give thanks for a great salvation that Jesus Christ bought for us by dying on the cross and rising from the dead, and to know that Rita is in the arms of Jesus, to know that she has, in that sense, graduated to her heavenly reward. Today we give thanks for this wonderful couple, faithful servants of the Lord Jesus, faithful to each other through all those years, and Lord, they've touched so many lives, and we thank you for that, and we celebrate that today, even as we grieve our loss. So, Father, we lift Burton up to you. Father, may he know your strength and your presence in a special way today and in the days ahead. Thank you for the children and the grandchildren and Lord, just the whole family connection. We give you praise that we can come to you today, and that in these times of loss, we receive from one another the encouragement and the support that comes from the whole congregation today, Lord. Thank you that we're able to come together to worship you and to look to you for your strength and guidance. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to have you turn in your hymn book to number 781. Those of you who do not have a bulletin will probably need one for the other two hymns that we're going to sing later on in the service. These have been chosen by the family. We'll be singing verse 1, 3, and 4 of number 781 that's in the hymn book. We'll ask the congregation to stand. The family, if you want to remain seated, feel free to do that. So 781. over this past few months, I have had difficulty tracking Rita down at times. I think I've found her in three different hospitals this year, in Lindsay, in York Central, and Markham Stouffville. And Rita and Bert have always been good friends, and we love them dearly. And it's a wonderful opportunity now to hear from the two granddaughters who are going to share on behalf of the family, and then Ann Carter on behalf of the church family. And then after that, Randy Spears is going to sing a solo, which is specially chosen as well.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Cheryl, and this is my sister, Shannon, and we are Rita's grandchildren. On behalf of the family, we would like to thank everyone for coming today. We know it would mean a lot for our grandmother to have everyone that she cares so deeply about all together. Rita Mariel Helena was born June 25th, 1920.
To parents Lenora and Russell Stover, and sister to Russell and Betty. Sorry, I got my version, which is wrong. I'm just going to switch over. Sorry, she's fine.
I'm fine.
Okay.
okay. She would marry Burton Daniels on June 18th, 1941, and would share 67 years of wonderful marriage together. They would have two children, Margaret, who would marry Bob Mason, and Paul, who would marry Marjorie Quinn. It gives me great joy that Grandma would meet her great-grandson, my son, Richard Paul, before we lost her.
Our grandma was a kind soul, always preferring to be behind the camera. She was the happiest when her whole family was together. We have wonderful memories of our grandmother. We will remember seeing her in the kitchen with her apron on, either cooking a family meal or one of her famous apple pies. Sitting with Grandma on the porch swing, drinking pink lemonade, as she would talk about her childhood memories. Her zest for traveling, whether it was to Florida, Myrtle Beach, or the countless of bus trips she and our grandpa would take together.
We will remember dressing up in our Aunt Margaret's clothes and performing skits for Grandma and Grandpa. Sitting watching hockey while enjoying the best Coke floats, and how exciting it was each time we came for a visit to see if we had gotten taller, as Grandma would keep track on the door frame leading into the living room. The countless trips to Stainer Camp and Grandma's true gift for knitting. To conclude, we are at peace knowing that on Grandma's last few days here on earth, she was surrounded by her family. It was through prayer and reflection on her life that we are able to say goodbye. We would like to share with you a small verse that has special meaning to our family, as it was sung at her brother Russell's funeral.
God shall wipe away all tears some bright golden morning, when the journey's ended and the course is run. No more crying, pain, or death. In the home of gladness, trials cease. All is peace when we see his face. Our grandma believed this and lived for this, and it gives us so much peace to know that she is resting in God's loving arms. She is with her mother, her father, and after 64 years, she has been reunited with her brother, Russell. Thank you for coming.
Proverbs 22, verse 18. He who finds a good wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Dear Burton family, if I were to sit down now and say nothing else, these words could say it all. because I know that Rita was the best wife that a man could have. But, however, Rita was much, much more than that. She was a very special lady. She was a mom, a sister, grandma, great-grandma, aunt, and a dear friend to very many people in this church. I met Rita and Bert in September 77, when with my husband Alan and our children, we found a little church on Main Street Markham, and we attended a Sunday service. Rita and Bert were greeters, big smiles, just the nicest people you could ever hope to meet, and they made us welcome. We'd arrived from South Africa in the April, and we were still trying to find our place in the community. Bert and Rita took us under their wing, gave us advice where to go and see the very best fall colors. Take a picnic, said Bert. And so we did that, and we've been attending Markham Missionary Church ever since. Rita had a quiet presence and a warm smile that exuded love. Over the years of attending church, ladies' fellowships, Bible studies, I soon learned that this lady had learned at a very young age the importance of loving Jesus. She became a church member at the age of 10. Don't tell me children don't know. And she's been a member for 78 years when the Lord finally called her into complete membership. And Rita, she'd sung in the choir. She'd led the Women's Missionary Society. What a dear soul. Rita loved her family and spoke fondly of them, always with pride, but also humbly, never boastfully. She loved to cook and bake, and church suppers were the tastier for one of Rita's dishes. Rita and Bert were married and started life together in Canada the day before I was born in England. So I could never lie about my age. And Rita and Bert celebrated each birthday, and I enjoyed their anniversary, and I enjoyed their anniversary with them. I always felt a little closer to them. Not many people have 67 years of marriage. There now. The cat's out of the bag, and I can't hide my age any longer. But what a wonderful testimony to each of us, whether we're newlywed or we've been going this road for a while. This is a huge testimony to what marriage should be. Rita was a praying woman, remembering missionaries, pastors, current needs, etc., etc. And she took a keen interest in our family, in my children. Our daughter Michelle's had major health problems for the last few years, and Rita and Bert have upheld her and our family in prayer for getting on for 3 years. Some weeks ago, we had a much more positive prognosis for Michelle. And I went flying off to tell Rita at the home. I wanted to tell her firsthand. And I thanked her for her love. And she smiled and said, "Oh, Anne, we're just ordinary folk." And I left, feeling that I'd been the one that was blessed. It was my last visit with her. So today, as we say goodbye to Rita, who was to me a very special, extraordinary lady, to the family, I say, thank you so much for sharing her with us. She's going to be very, very badly missed. Thank you.
To the garden on the
We're going to sing together, Safe in His Arms. It's in the insert in your bulletin. Can we stand to sing together? Father, we come into your presence at this time to thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. We thank you, Father, for Shannon and Cheryl and for Anne as they've shared memories of Rita today for us. We thank you, Father, for everyone who's here who's been impacted and many others who weren't able to come today, been impacted by Rita and Burton in some special way. Father, we realize that for Burton, this is a difficult day. We thank you, Father, that you've graciously given him 67 years with his precious bride and wife. Thank you, Father, even in these last few months, they've been able to be close to each other, even though across the room from each other, but able to spend time at the windows together in wheelchairs, watching things and talking together and finding some private time. Father, we would ask that your Spirit will minister comfort to Burton and to Margaret and to Paul and to their spouses and the grandchildren and that new great-grandchild that Rita had the chance to see too. Father, we bring the rest of the family before you, and thank you, Father, for their support here today and yesterday at the funeral home. We pray, Father, that you would just bless and minister through Pastor Jan, the niece, as she will be coming shortly to open the Word of God to us and share some of her memories of Rita as well. Father, we thank you that you are a kind and gracious God. We realize that your Word says there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Your days are ordained for us before we actually have one of them. And yet, Father, I thank you today that life isn't the end. That death in this world is but an entrance, a tunnel into eternity and into a future with Jesus in heaven. And so, Father, we thank you that Rita no longer has the limitations of her earthly body. She'll no longer be able to experience pain, but will be able to rejoice fully and be able to see Jesus face to face, as we've been singing about earlier in the service. So, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity of just coming before you on behalf of the family today and praying for your blessing on them. For we pray this in Jesus' name. We're going to ask Mrs. Doris Thomas to come and read a passage of Scripture that was a very special passage of Scripture, I think, that was read many years ago at a funeral. And Doris has been asked to bring that. And then Reverend Jan Moken will come and bring the word of encouragement.
John chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Thank you, Doris. That was a very special passage because it was read at my grandpa's funeral many years ago in 1955, and also at my grandma Stover's. So that's a very special passage to the family. Let me begin this morning by giving a few brief personal comments. I have so many happy memories of being at my Auntie Rita's and my Uncle Bert's. I don't know of two more kind or more gracious, more caring, more gentle-spirited individuals. Loving and caring, they loved people. They loved having people around them, right? You're here today as a testament of that. And people loved Auntie Rita and Uncle Bert. If you have spent any time with them, you know any gathering that involved the Daniels involved good food, and lots of it. Great times of catching up, and at any of our family gatherings, once we were no longer able to move because we were so full, the next best activity was always the pulling out of family photo albums and laughing hysterically at each other. The hairdos, the clothes, missing the people who were no longer there with us. That's what families do. It was good times. My sister and I were catching up this week, remembering at one of our last family gatherings, we were at Bob and Margaret's, and we were, again, filled to the gills. We could no longer move, and so we had pulled out some photo albums. And Auntie Rita was sitting beside Debbie and I, giggling away to herself. We couldn't figure out what she was doing until, as we were looking at some of the photos she had taken, we realized that many of the people in the photos had red eye or their eyes had been shut. And so Auntie Rita kindly took it upon herself to work a little Photoshop magic, and she took a pen and she colored in everybody's eyes. So everybody would look perfect in the picture. And she was giggling away, thought that was the funniest thing ever. Well, we laughed quite a bit too. I so admired her heart for wanting to bring out the best in people. And I count it such a privilege this afternoon to be able to encourage all of you with the scriptures at her homegoing service. I know above anything else that Rita Daniels would have wanted this to be a service, as it has already been, one where Jesus is lifted up for being the wonderful Lord and Savior that she walked with for so many years. And she would have wanted all of us to leave here today, yes, maybe with a tear in our eye, but feeling encouraged and strengthened so that we can go out and we can live for the Lord all the days of our lives as God gives them to us. So for a few moments this morning, I want to talk about hope. Life at times can feel so hopeless. This is no newsflash to any of us. Have you found that there are times when sadness and difficulties feel like permanent house guests with extended visas? They're just not leaving. Maybe it's a health situation you're facing, a work challenge, a relationship struggle, whatever it is, even the sorrow that families can feel when someone so close to them has been lost. We wake up tomorrow morning and think maybe that was a bad dream, but no, the reality of our hopelessness hits us in the face all over again. It's like the little boy who was struggling to go to school for the very first time. And maybe some of you are here this morning and you've sent your children off to school. This little guy, he did not want to go to school at all. There was no way he was going. So his parents did everything they could to make it a very positive school experience. They bought him a new backpack, new back-to-school clothes, new Incredible Hulk back-to-school jammies, and they did everything possible within their parental coaxing to get him to go to school. And so it was a struggle, but he went. And so as they're tucking him into bed that night, they rehearsed what a good day it had been, right? It'd been a little bit tough, but you went and it was okay. So they kissed him goodnight, turned out the lights. In the morning, his mom came in to wake him up for school. And his bewildered little response was, "What? Again?" It often we feel that way. What? I have to face this hopeless state that is in my life again? It didn't go away in the night? Someone has said that what oxygen is to the lungs, such is hope to the meaning of life. We cannot exist without hope. We have to believe that all that is wrong in this world is not the final entry. We have to believe that a better day is coming. And as people of faith, those who trust in God, hopelessness shows no partiality to us either. I've had seasons in my life when it has felt like a big black cloud has parked over my house, and you have too. And I've read verses like, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, overflow with hope, and I've read those and thought, how can you have such an abundance of hope when everything feels so hopeless? So this morning, let me leave you with two truths, and then we're going to pray together. Number one, Jesus is our hope right now. He is the one who brings hope to our lives just as they are. Exactly where you find yourself today, whether you are at the top of your game or the bottom has fallen out, He is our hope for our now, and He is our hope for our future. If you've read the Gospels in the Bible, you will find that they are bursting at the seams with stories of people facing hopeless, desperate, real-life situations. Human need at its worst is epidemic. You read the Gospels and you will see incurable diseases, crippled bodies, dying children, violent storms. There is hunger, demonic oppression, fear, shame, regret. There are blind eyes and damaged eardrums. There are funerals and mourning families, and there is even a horrible death of one so innocent on a cross. package them together, and they spell hopelessness. But that's not all the Gospels are about, because you bring Jesus into the equation. He says to disease, get well. He says to bodies that don't walk or talk or hear or see, when Jesus touches them, there is dancing and laughing and 20/20 vision. When Jesus blesses an afternoon snack, suddenly there is food for the thousands and there's leftovers for the next day. Demons cower in his mighty presence. They flee at his command. When storms brew and destroying winds bellow, Jesus stands up and he says, be still. When families are racked with unbelievable sorrow, he speaks into their pain and says, don't be afraid, just trust me. And when the very worst happens and a crucifixion appears to have taken mankind's last chance for hope, Jesus defeats death and sin and everything that robs hope from our lives. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has been swallowed up in Jesus' victory. What does that mean for us this morning as we sit at the funeral of a dear one? There will never be a situation that you can face in life that will out-trump the Lord. If Jesus took care of the very worst thing possible, death on a cross to save us from our sins, that's us at our most hopeless state. If he took care of that for us, we can trust him with what exactly we're facing right now. 1 Peter 1:21 says, because God has raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory, your faith and hope can be placed confidently in God. Because of Jesus, we can have hope. Everything possible that life can negatively impact us with, Jesus, because of his victory over sin and death, he steps in and he overrules it. He steps into the hopelessness and he brings peace. He gives strength and courage. He can work miracles. He brings hope. He nurses broken hearts. Ruined lives are brought to wholeness. And Jesus can take what looks like the absolute end and he can turn it into a brand new chapter filled with hope. He steps into your now. Where you are today, where you're feeling hopeless, with himself, with the very power and presence of God. And he brings hope. He endured the worst, so we never have to endure what is hopeless without him. He is our very present source of help. He wants to walk with you and help you. Jeremiah writes in Lamentations, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Aren't you glad you woke up this morning and God's grace was there? For whatever we have to face today, God's grace is there. Because of Jesus, we can know hope. A hope not dependent on our circumstances, but dependent on him who will never fail us despite our circumstances. He can be your hope right now. But that's only part of the story. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, if only for this life we have hope, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, and his resurrection means that for those who believe in him, death is not the end. It's the beginning. He is our hope for our future. No wonder Jesus said those beautiful words that Doris read. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that I can go and bring you to be with myself. Because of Jesus, this life is not all there is. There is a wonderful future ahead. Paul writes in Ephesians that in the ages to come, think about it, in the ages, the eternal years to come, God's heart will delight in showing us the exceeding riches of his grace You won't be bored in heaven. No wonder Paul writes, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. It has not entered into the mind of man to know what God has prepared for those who love him. Heaven is for real. We can joyfully anticipate eternity in heaven with him and with those through the ages who have surrendered their lives to him as Lord and Savior. Many of you have dear loved ones who are there waiting for you, and your mom, and girls, your grandma, and Uncle Bert, your loving wife. She's waiting there for you. You will see her again. Isn't that great? And death and mourning and sickness and disease and pain and suffering will be gone. We'll be with our loved ones and with Jesus forever, never to be separated. It will be a place of life and joy like we cannot imagine. And God will wipe away every tear of sadness. And you know what? Hopelessness will be banished forever. It won't be there. C.S. Lewis, I don't know if you have read any of his writings, but in his book, The Chronicles of Narnia, he gives such a good glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. He writes this: heaven is the beginning of the real story. All the life in this world and all their adventures had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. The best is yet ahead. And that's why Rita can say this morning, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. No one can give you that kind of lifetime eternal guarantee but Jesus. So how do we respond to all this morning? Are you feeling without hope today? Maybe you're going to leave this funeral service, and as you step outside these doors, you're facing a challenge, and you wonder, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through these next days, this month? How am I going to face this? Let me encourage you this morning by telling you that Jesus can be your hope. It sounds so simple, but that's how God is. His truths are not meant to be not understood. He wants you to know that he can be your hope. Did Rita Daniels have a life with no stresses, no worries, easy sailing? Absolutely not. She walked through tough times like we all do. But she knew exactly where to turn when she didn't have the answers. When life's equations didn't add up, she turned to God with fresh trust and surrender, asking for his help. And her faith in God was like an anchor for her soul. Auntie Rita was like a rock. And that was her bedrock anchor, was her faith and trust in a very real God. It held her steady. Girls, that is the legacy your grandma leaves for you. That's what you can impart to your children. And for all of us, it works. It works. Jesus wants to be that hope for you. There's a beautiful verse in Psalm 33, verse 18. It says that the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who put their hope in him. Do you know what that means? It means it's as if heavenly radar is looking out for those who would just simply turn their hearts to God. Just simply cry out to God, please help me. His help is there. Our hope in this life is not that it will be perfect or pain-free, but that in every situation that tries to rob our hope, the promise is Jesus is with us and Jesus is hope. So turn to him. Don't live your life. Don't live it without him. And lastly, heaven is our future hope. Don't miss it. I was thinking of this last night, and the words to an old hymn just sprung in my heart. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be worth it all when we see him, won't it? One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Can you imagine? That's where Rita is today. She gets to see Jesus. She gets to be with him. She will not regret for a moment giving her heart to the Lord as a little girl. Nor will you. You will never regret putting your trust in Jesus. I can guarantee you that a time will come in the future when you'll look over and see me in heaven and you'll go, Jan, you were right. It was a good thing to put my trust in him. You will never regret surrendering your everything to him. A day is coming for all who know him when the words of that song will be our reality. We'll see Jesus face to face, just like your mom is right now. And all the sufferings and all the trials and all the loss and all the things that we can't figure out in this life, they will pale in his presence. And to be with him will be enough. We'll be home. And that's where my Auntie Rita is today. Absent from the body, her shell may be here. Rita's not there. She is at home, present with her Lord. So don't miss heaven. Don't miss it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, that's an open invitation to anyone here this morning, whoever believes in him, you won't perish. You'll have eternal life. Open your heart to God today. Ask him to forgive your sins, be the Lord of your life. And you too can know the hope of what it means to belong to God and know the hope of heaven, eternal life that Rita is experiencing now and for every one of us who have received Christ as Savior. Let's pray together. Father God, we are so thankful that you have not left us destitute to walk this life, but you have promised to be right beside us. Thank you, Father, that the Jesus that we know about from the Gospels, who went about touching and restoring and healing and speaking into lives, he is the same today and forever. And I pray, Father, for each one here, that those who may not know you would simply turn their heart to you and say, Jesus, I want to know you too. Forgive me. I trust in you. The promise is that you will be their Lord and Savior too. You'll give them that hope in this life and hope for a life with you in heaven. So, Lord, thank you for this gift of hope. May each one who is discouraged and heavy-hearted here this morning feel the encouragement and hope from your scriptures. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our last hymn that we're going to sing is in your insert in the bulletin, and it relates to John chapter 14, talking about a mansion just over the hilltop. And we're thankful that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us and that he's coming again, and we're looking forward to his coming. Can we sing this together? Please stand.
Thank you.
have so much to look forward to, don't we? Whether we sing it, whether we read it in Scripture, whether we think about Jesus being our hope for now and our hope on into eternity. What a wonderful opportunity to have a time of celebration for Rita today. Just a couple of announcements for you as we close. There'll be a reception following the service immediately downstairs. There is an elevator available, so those of you who have difficulty with getting downstairs, we'd encourage you to just come to us and we'll give you some instruction in that way. And we will have a recessional out to the hearse. The pallbearers will be with us in that. We're going to have an interment at Dixon Hill Cemetery at 1:45. Those of you who don't have any idea where that is, and I assume that might be a very small minority, you can ask the two fellows from Dixon Garland, and they will give you instructions related to that. So at 1:45, we'll be meeting at the Dixon Hill Cemetery. Many of the family will be here with the reception with you until about 1:30, and then we'll be heading out at that time. Let's just bow for prayer. We're going to ask God's blessing on the food downstairs and also give a benediction. Father, we thank you for the clear word that you gave to us through Pastor Jan today. She just exuded a love for you and a closeness to her family and that special relationship she had with Aunt Rita. Thank you, Father, for her abilities to be able to represent the family so well and to bring a word on your behalf. Father, we thank you for the food that's prepared downstairs, those who've been working towards that. We pray, Father, that this will provide a wonderful opportunity for Bert and his family to receive people, be able to pay respects, tell stories, spend time together. There'll be some that maybe haven't seen each other for a long time. We pray, Father, that you just bless this time that we have downstairs as well and in the interment a little while later. We thank you, Father, for some of the wonderful benedictions in your word, and we bring this benediction from Jude. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.